December 6th, 1964, 2 p.m., Olympia Stadium, corner of Grand River and McGraw in Detroit. As a new band takes the stage for its first live performance in Detroit, the place is packed with 10,000 people. Almost 0.75% of the population of Detroit have come to see this band perform. And for those of you who don't remember the Olympia, it was where you could see the Red Wings play way back when, where Jake LaMotta defeated Sugar Ray Robinson, where President Herbert Hoover gave a speech. And in the words of the 60s, the Olympia was the it place for bands to play in Detroit. My sister-in-law was there that day and was so excited to see this band perform. She remembers how crazy a scene it was, girls screaming and girls fainting, pulling their hair out in excitement, taking off their clothes, all crammed in by the thousands, no one sitting down, and all of them wanted to reach out and touch a member of this band. One woman remembers, "The event was so influential in my life that it is etched in my mind forever. The screaming was constant and deafening. After the concert, two rows of cops with arms interlocked surrounded the stage, barely stopping some and dragging others off. Afterwards, on the way out, people were breathing so hard from 20 minutes of screaming that the walls of the exit corridors were literally dripping with exhaled moisture." Another woman writes, "I managed to get close, and one of the band members looked right at me and smiled when he was singing, 3 exclamation points. I was screaming so loud, I was hysterical, all caps, 5 exclamation points. I was only 14 years old, and I can still see it in my mind. Was anyone here this morning there at the Olympia back in 1964? Can you guess which band was performing? The Beatles, that's right. And did you know there's even a website provocatively titled The Beatles Bible, not quite as popular as Jesus? So let's look back in time and see just how popular Jesus was. There he is, a young man going on tour in the area around the Sea of Galilee. And there are his disciples on the road with him, his roadies, if you were. People are following him so closely and in such a mad crush that he seeks refuge on a boat out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Or he goes high up in the mountains, and yet even there, they come and seek him out. The crowds who come to seek Jesus are so thick, his disciples can't even tell when a sick woman reaches out and touches his robe and is miraculously healed. People push the sick up to the front of the crowds just so they might be healed by his touch. They climb sycamore trees to see him over the crowds that have gathered in the streets calling out his name, "Jesus, Jesus," as he passes by. They plead with him to come home with them. "My daughter is dying, my mother-in-law sick with fever." A group of friends break through a roof just so they can lower their crippled young friend down on ropes to see Jesus, who is speaking inside. They are so anxious to see Jesus that a crowd of 5,000, 12.5% of the population of Jerusalem in that day, gather on the side of a mountain, perhaps Mount Hermon, now called the Mount of Beatitudes. Jesus is so popular with the people, with the hungry and the homeless, the slaves and the tribunes, so many come out to see Jesus that the Roman Empire will give him a trial which makes a mockery of justice, and then they'll crucify him, all in an effort to stop people from coming out to see him. 5,000 come out to see him on the side of a mountain. 10,000 come out to see the Beatles in Detroit. And worldwide, over 1 billion people come out to see Jesus every day. So let me tell you some stories about seeing Jesus in the 21st century. The most important room in the baby blue house on School Avenue is the one outside, the front porch. It is where Tracy Davison and her 4 daughters catch the comings and goings of their neighbors in Pascagoula, Mississippi. In the evenings when the sticky heat breaks and the girls are finally asleep, Tracy escapes to the porch to be alone and take a deep breath. Sometimes she has a good cry. "Everybody needs a good cry every now and then," says Tracy, a teacher's assistant who works with disabled children. The porch is also the perfect porch to remember when hope sprang from the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. "Right over there," says Tracy, leaning over the white railing and pointing to a spot in the yard as if it were yesterday. "I had all these wonderful people, including President Carter and his wife, standing on my front lawn in a circle, praying, right before they started slamming hammers on this house. I tell the girls, this is a chosen house. This is a chosen house." Tracy's story is from the Habitat for Humanity website, and if you want to read more about Tracy, I encourage you to take a peek. Has anyone here ever volunteered for Habitat for Humanity? God's beloved, when you lifted that hammer or that paintbrush, people saw Jesus in you. So how about another story a little closer to home? As the sun beat down at Spirit of Hope Church in Detroit, Jeremy Smith, 16, sliced through a long tree branch in an alleyway near the house of worship. He was helping clear brush on Thursday, one of about 30,000 people in Detroit that week, for a youth gathering of the biggest Lutheran group in the U.S., the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. "It feels good to get out and help the community, help people," Smith of Fresno, California, said during a break. Smith and about 10,000 other Lutherans and others worked all across Metro Detroit on Thursday in service projects that helped the needy. Another 20,000 worked on Friday and Saturday. Wearing orange-colored shirts, the Lutherans were a big presence in downtown Detroit. That was from a Free Press article of about a month ago. And when Michael, our own bookkeeper, and Hannah, a teacher from our high school Sunday school class, volunteered that week to help the communities of Detroit, people saw Jesus. And how about another story of the leaders of St. Michael's, our vestry? Several months ago at the annual vestry retreat, this year we went to the diocesan retreat held in Lansing, vestries were led on a journey of mission discovery. And ever since then, they've been praying and considering and discerning about the work of the kingdom we do here at St. Michael's, how we become like Jesus for one another, continuing to imagine our mission as a living, breathing, ongoing creation of God. And less than a week ago, they gathered at their monthly vestry meeting, and guided by the Holy Spirit, led by our own Kathy Groschner, given a deeper understanding of the church's 21st century mission thanks to Jim Gettle, canon for congregational vitality, they talked about the ways we serve one another, how the community outside these doors and our companions down the street come to see Jesus in the works of our hands and our hearts. This journey is made by wonderfully passionate, loving and faithful leaders. And we are at the beginning of discovering how we will continue to do the work of God's kingdom, how we will serve others, and how they will come to see Jesus in us. One real-time way we'll do so today is after worship. And as we've done for the last couple of years, when the vestry and stewardship committees gather together with you in the church hall for a town hall meeting. So I want to thank the vestry and the stewardship committee for bringing treats this morning for our coffee hour. Today's town hall is one way we are more accessible and responsive to each other. It gives us an opportunity to talk about the mission of the church, to build a deeper spirit of community. And it is an open agenda. We don't have any expectations or specific topics to discover. Rather, this is one way that we strengthen our bonds of affection for one another. God has blessed and used St. Michael's to change lives, transform communities, and renew the church for the past 68 years. As we continue to renew our commitment to living out our mission and building for our future with the right spaces for worship and serving, learning and connecting, may others join us, and may they see Jesus in our midst. And may all God's people say,